Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We're grateful for the privilege, fellowship one with another in the name of your Son. We ask that that which is available in the name is received this morning in revelation. As your word is taught, have our hearts, eyes of our understanding flooded with your light. Just as there is no confusion in the teaching, we ask this morning that there is no confusion in our understanding. But every man, together as a church, with precision in our heart, our eyes are open and we behold Jesus. And as we see Him, we see ourselves as He sees us in Him. We have a question in our hearts this morning regarding the work of salvation, your plan on the earth, are answered. We ask that areas that are knotted together in our minds are resolved as light is shed upon them this morning. We ask this morning we will gain much more precision. And our sense of assurance of the work of salvation will be strengthened. The plans and purposes revealed to us, built up together, nourished up together in your word as a church, walk in the reality of salvation. We ask that your name is glorified in our walk this morning as the whole church identifies and the whole church says, Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew's Gospel. Hallelujah. 38. Amen. You're waiting for 2 Timothy 3. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel. Okay, let me just fulfill the ritual. 2 Timothy. I will talk from Matthew. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are we ready for God's Word? So hope everyone is with their Bibles and what? Alright. This is church. If you are coming to church, your basic preparation for service includes, not limited to, but it includes having your Bibles, praise God, and also having your writing materials. Why do I have, I hold a writing material, praise God, that, you know, the faintest Bible, are we together, is much more effective than the sharpest memory. Is it clear? Right. So sometimes, you know, when you show up to receive a body of knowledge or truth, and you are with your writing materials, it is a sign of value and honor. It shows that what you're about to receive is precious. Are we together? It's precious. What you're about to receive during the week, you know, some number. What's the account number? Oh no, the phone. And then, and I'm quite good with digits. I can get 5, 10 phone numbers. It will be in my head till I get to where I'm going. Maybe when I get there, I might forget. But till I get to where I'm going. But I have to pull out a pen and the writing material. I have to write down the phone number. And even though I knew that I would not forget. Oftentimes, I just remove the 070 or 080. I just remove it. But I'll know it's 080. And I'll just cram the remaining ones. But I had to pen it somewhere because the person that was giving me the phone number was someone of a great value. So I didn't want to forget it. You know, they didn't hand me their card. They gave me the phone number. So I didn't want to forget it. So I had to pull out a sheet of paper. I was holding one I had to find, and I had to pull out my Bible, and I had to write. And it's because the phone number is very valuable. How is it together? So it's something as earthly as, you know, getting over to somebody else for to create continue communication is how much more the Word of God. So God's Word is, you know, much more valuable. I wanted to say equally valuable. Actually, much more. So one of the ways I show value and honor for God's Word is that I show up in the church services. Praise God. The teaching services of my church, I show up the Word with writing material. Amen? So I come with Bible. Sometimes, I don't know, it's just 20. You know, you have to hold more than one Bible. Praise God. Sometimes you go to write exams, you go with a packet of Bible. You go with different Bibles from different brands. Because I don't know, you know, quality of virus today. So you come with writing materials, you come with your Bibles, amen. And then very importantly also, you also come with your offerings to church. Are we together? Giving is honor in the church. You also invite someone with you to church. There are different ways to prepare. There are several ways to be prepared, to get prepared for the teaching service. You come with someone, you don't come alone, then you get into meeting early, are we together? So you can be well prepared, settle down before the service starts. You hold your Bible, you hold your writing materials, you come with your Bible. What else? Amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready for God's word? So we're looking at salvation, soteriology, and then we'll continue from there this morning. And today I just want to apply knowledge. So one, look at what we've been looking at in our individual studies and assignments that we've been taking, and also what we have been going through in our study, and then we want to look at the applicative form, or maybe an arrival of those thoughts, conclusions of those things we've been looking at. Praise God. So that at the very thing that, you know, so it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." 15. "And that from a child," can we read 15 together, everyone wants to go? "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." 17. Everyone wants to go. "That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel in 28. Quickly. Just speak from there for 2-3 minutes, then we'll get back. Matthew 28. You know we've been in the book of Hebrews, right? Okay. In Matthew 28, and then you look at verse 18. "And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." 19, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Hallelujah. On Thursday, I'll explain to you what all nations imply. Are we together? We did just some mention on the word ethnos on Thursday evening. So he says, "And of the Son, baptizing them in the name of the Father." He did not say the names, but it says the name. Hallelujah. Why does it say the names? Are we together? Because the use of the word name simply implies authority. Is it clear? So it wouldn't have said authorities. It didn't say names. It says the name. So there's just one name. It says baptizing them in the name. Then it says in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So this refers to the authority. Are we together? Authority. It says of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then it says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Now quickly, my attention this morning is in the verse 20. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Hallelujah. And then I told you that in that word commanded, you know, commanded, you know, which is the word entelomai, commanded. And in that word, there is a shade of accomplishments in that word. Accomplishments. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, I have accomplished." Are we together? "In you," or towards you. Are we together? Are we together? So it says you will go and teach them. And then when you look at the word teaching in verse 20, you know, the word teach or teaching occurs twice in the text we just read. If you look at verse 8, all the word "and teach all nations." Are we together? Are we together? 18, no. 18, it says, "He came unto them saying, All authority is given unto me." So 19, it then says, "Go into all the word and teach." Right? Right? Is that what we have? Go into all the word and teach. So the word teach there in 19 is not the same word as teaching in verse 20. But definitely, the teaching in verse 20 explains what verse 19 is talking about. So when it says, "Go into all the world and teach," in verse 19, we've seen that word 1,001 times in our church, the word matotheo, which means to make disciples, to school, to make people to learn. Are we together? Christianity is about making people to learn the things of God. You know, it's not fine that you say, oh, come to church, you know, where you come, you know, you just do, you know, the church is not a restaurant. Are we together? Where, you know, you have license or the freedom, let me use the word freedom, liberty to choose what you want and to reject the things you do not want. No, you know, when you get into a restaurant, for example, you sit down there, someone brings you a menu, they say, what would you like to have? You say, okay, is that spag? Okay, I love a portion of spag. They say, oh, wow, do you have coleslaw or salad? Yes, add one, you know, for me. What's that thing there? Say, it's grilled chicken. Okay, add one. Then, what's that thing there? Say, it's pomo. That pepper has run inside it. You say that in Yoruba. Are we together? It says, give me one of that. So that's a restaurant where you go and then you choose what you want, and then you can choose to reject other ones because you don't want it. But the local church is not like that. The church is not like that. The church is not a place where you can choose what you want and reject what you do not want. No. Are we together? Why did we say that? Because the very ideology of Jesus did not expect that the church would look like that. The very ideology of Jesus is what he explains, gave out, when he used the word disciple for the church. Disciple. And make disciples. Now, who is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who is being trained. Now, when you are being trained, everything supplied has its place. Is it clear? Now, I know that in training, you are also things you should avoid. Are we together? Are we together? For example, let's say you are being trained to be a footballer. A footballer. You are being trained to be a boxer. Or you are being trained to be an athlete. An athlete. Your coach is going to tell you, oh, don't take this, don't take this. They'll tell you, oh, you can't eat this at this time of the day anymore. Maybe you used to eat in around 11, 30, 12. You're training for Olympics. Your coach says, hey, you cannot take fufu. Are we together? At 1 a.m. again. Are we there? So, in training, you are also hinted on what to avoid. But what I'm saying is that when you are being trained, whatsoever is being supplied you, all of what is being supplied you is needed. If you are choosy, you will be lacking. You are going to be lacking in vital areas. If you get choosy about things you are supposed to receive. Are we together? For example, you hear folks today say things like, oh, I'm going to be in the teaching service, I'm not going to be in the prayer service. No, you don't have that license or the liberty to choose which church meetings to attend. You don't. You don't. You don't have the freedom to choose which such services to attend and the ones not to attend. Now, you might choose to attend some and choose not to attend some, but what you have just done is a disregard. It is not because normal. That is normalcy. Are we together? It's not normal. In the discipleship structure of Jesus, everything you are given is required. So that's what he means by go make disciples. So that in verse 20, he now says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. You can see all things. So in discipleship, he says, give them all of certain things. All of certain things. Now, by mentioning all of certain things, that means, yes, we can exclude some things that are not part of that all. Are we together? But whatsoever is in that all, you do not have the choice other than to what? To receive it. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. For example, in a local church that knows what they are doing, have different kind of meetings. Not all the meetings are the same. There are teaching meetings in the local assembly. There are prayer meetings in the local assembly. There are evangelistic meetings in the local assembly. There are Holy Ghost meetings in the local assembly. There are different kind of meetings. And you don't have that liberty to choose which to attend, which not to attend. Praise God. Let me get back to what I'm saying. So in Matthew here, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, which has to do with two things: what he has said and what he has done. What he has said and what he has done. So in looking at the things that Jesus had both said and done, we will see his accomplishments. We will also see his instructions. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that anchors in or ushers in what I wanted to say, which is the fact that there is a walk in salvation. And I've mentioned it before, I'm saying it again. There is a walk in salvation. Receiving salvation, it is not the same as walking in it. Walking in it. You have to be told or taught or trained, like we saw the word Matthew, which means to train, to disciple. You have to be trained to walk in salvation. To walk in it. Someone say to walk in it. That's it. To walk in it means to demonstrate salvation. To demonstrate salvation. To demonstrate. To show that. To manifest it. Manifest. To manifest it. There are manifestations of salvation. And people have to be taught. People have to be trained. That means a believer doesn't just get to manifest his salvation alone. You have to be helped. You have to be trained. In that training, there is inspiration. You have to be inspired. In that training, there is information. You have to be informed. In that training, there is instructions. You have to be instructed. So, there are instructions. Are we together? There are informations. There are instructions. There are inspiration. Are we together? Are we together? If you are in a good local assembly, a church, a good local church will get informed. One of the signs that you are in a good local church is that you are getting information. I told you that Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. You can never walk in the reality of Christianity with an ignorant mind, an empty head. You can't. You cannot. So, one of the signs of a local assembly, a good local assembly, one of the signs that you are in a strong local church is that you are getting information. Good information. A sound knowledge of your faith. It's a shameful thing for a Christian to not be able to explain his or her faith after a while. It's a shameful thing. It's a shameful thing. For example, you ask some Christians, you say things like, are you born again? He says, yes. He says, how do you know you're born again? Then someone say, my name is John. I didn't want to mention the name of somebody I know in church. He says, my name is John. Or someone else says, my name is are we together? The fact that your name is Abraham does not mean you're born again. Are we together? If you go to hell, you will find Abraham there. Is it clear? I didn't say you will find Abraham in Genesis. I said you will find Abraham. Are we together? Are we together? Folks, salvation is not genetically introduced. Neither is it communicated by christening. When you christen the child, that's why you will find a lot of Abdul Malik in heaven. Is it clear? Is it clear? You will find a lot of Abdul Samad, Malik, Yaqub. Is it clear? You will find them in heaven because at one point or the other, they are demonstrated what? faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is it clear? Then you also find names of other religions. You find them in everyone. But now your name is Jesus and you don't believe in Jesus. I'm sorry. You will go to places where Jesus is that don't believe in Jesus goes. Is it clear? Is it clear? So look at this. Informed. I told you. A sign that you have attended a good teaching service is not that you leave the service excited. No. But you will leave informed. Established. Your heart will flow forth in gratitude because you have made progress in your journey, in your knowledge of God. Then I said, you are going to be instructed because it is by instruction that we walk in God's plans. You can never walk in God's plan outside instructions. Because after you have learned something, for you to act on it, there has to be an instruction attached. Are we together? That's why when we preach the gospel and we have made the saving knowledge of Jesus available to men, there's an instruction that says, believe it. To believe is an instruction. Amen? After you have experienced speaking in tongues to people, you have explained to them, oh, this is what the Bible says about speaking in tongues. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, this is what happens. This is what, you explain around tongues to people. How are they going to speak in tongues when they fulfill the instruction that says open your mouth and what? And speak. Is it clear? So instructions is how we do God's plan. Then I said, you are also inspired. You are also inspired. So look out for those three things in every service. Praise God. Look out for the in the teaching of God's word. Look out for information. Ensure you grasp the information in the service. Don't slip off. Are we together? In the service. Don't slip off. Don't use your phones in the service. In the service, don't use your phones. Don't use your cell phones. Your cell phones. Your iPhones and your Androids and all of that, don't use it in service. Put it away or put them away. That is how to receive sacred things. Is it clear? When you are here to receive sacred things, you understand the atmosphere. You don't get casual. You don't get secular. When you hear sacred things, you put your phones away. Then you write. When Bible texts are referred to, are quoted, are referenced, you open it. You open it fast. Because maybe before you get there, we have quoted another one. Is it clear? So you open it fast. Then you read alongside. Then you listen for the information. You trap it down. That is how information. Then ensure you listen out for the instructions. Usually in meetings where I sit down under my own pastor and I'm receiving God's word, when instructions are given in the midst of the teaching, I have a way of circling it or noting that this is an instruction. Then ensure that you also receive the inspiration in the service. Is it clear? Some of you don't know that the singing sessions are inspirational. The singing sessions are informative, instructive, and inspirational. The prayer session is also inspirational. Inspiration coming to us from the teaching of God's word. Every exhortation, every charge in the service is inspirational and instructional. Is that clear, everyone? So it is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have accomplished. So salvation is Jesus' accomplishment, and we expect her to walk in it. Is that clear, everyone? Now, let's get back to the book of Hebrews. So, quickly, what have we said in the book of Hebrews? Go back here now. What have we said? Did we have any assignments in the week? Did we have any assignment? Some of us are nodding a no. Did we have any assignment in the week? Did we have any assignment? My sister in blue. Okay, I'm facing you. Did we have any assignment? It's okay. She said we have assignment. What's the assignment? What's the assignment? Okay. Do you have any assignment? Tell me. What's the assignment? Okay, so we have an thank you, sit down. We have an assignment on Israel, right? Okay, hope we did it. I got feedbacks though. Hope we did it. So can we say that Israel had a special mention? Can I get responses? If your answer is no, just say it. Is it clear? But I don't want no from the people that did not do the assignment. Are we together? Alright. So, but if your answer is no, mention it. This is a teaching session. This is a class. Praise God. Alright. So, can we say, studied, and the work I told you to go do at home, can we say that Israel had a peculiar mention regarding the plan of God, regarding salvation, can I get responses? Okay, so Israel had a special mention. So the issue with Israel was that they would not believe in the gospel, yes, as a means of salvation. Now, did you see how simple that was? That was the religious pride. The religious pride is that, see, interestingly, the same God that they had tried to worship with the rituals and the sacrifices is the same person that Paul is preaching to them. But they will not agree to what Paul is preaching as the requirement for salvation being faith alone. They will not. They chose to reason with their practices. Like you said, rightly said, is that they felt that with the preaching of the gospel, they will see that with the preaching of the gospel, they didn't have a role to play for salvation. Are we there? But their own conviction was that they have to have a role to play for salvation. So bringing a message to them that relegates all the ritual and religious practices. Are we together? And explains that as a means of salvation, they will not agree. So Paul found it difficult to preach salvation to them through Jesus Christ as something they would just believe. So they did not agree that salvation will come through the man Jesus Christ. Are we together? Now, obviously, look at this carefully. Were the Jews expecting a Messiah? Yes. So their issue was not that they were not expecting a Messiah, and the Messiah will be man, right? But the issue was that they were not expecting that salvation from this Jesus the way it has come. You will observe it critically that even after Jesus had been raised from the dead, his own disciples came back to him to ask when he would take over the government. So the salvation they were expecting, are we together? Part of the salvation they were expecting from a Messiah will be somebody that will rule them like Joshua or Moses, who will through powerful signs, are we together, set them free from the Roman Empire, the Roman tyranny. So, but this guy comes, he says that, he doesn't just say that, I am the Savior. He says, my salvation is for sins. Are we together? Not economical, not military. That already shifts them away from what they were looking out for. Because they were expecting a Messiah that will create a government of his own. Even his disciples. The only reason why Peter has swords they were expecting a fight. Are we together? You observe at another time that when the multitude saw miracles, the next thing they wanted to do, they wanted to make him what? King. Because as far as Israel is concerned, their own savior, they were expecting an earthly king. Now that wasn't just for, like you said, the teaching of salvation would then also make them to drop their religious rituals. They weren't fine with that. But the peak of it, the peak of their rebellion, was based on the fact that Jesus is now preached not just as the Messiah. Jesus is now being preached as God. Ah. They said no. Are we together? Are we together? The Jews would have been okay with the fact that he said our Messiah is a man. Moses was a Messiah, and they esteemed him. Joshua was a Messiah. They had many Messiahs. Gideon was one to save them from tyranny. So if you have said Jesus has also come to redeem from tyranny, even though that looks somehow, because now that tyranny, it didn't look like they were free from it after Jesus had risen from death. Are we together? But to now say that this Jesus is the God of Moses, God of Abraham, they said no. So that was the religious pride. That look at this. These people did not know the God that they were what? Worshipping. Because now that God has appeared in human flesh, and they didn't only reject him, they killed him. Even after they killed him, they saw he was risen from the dead. See, Jesus' resurrection did not happen in the corner of his feet. It happened. They saw it. Are we together? Not all the city, but I mean it was the leaders of the nation knew he rose. The soldiers they put there, they came back and gave the account. Are we together? And they said, when he got out, we were lying lifeless and unconscious. The Bible recorded it. That when the angel that rolled away the stone came down as lightning, he sat on the stone. He says, they were all pressed down as though they were dead. So they were seeing the event, but they couldn't lift his sword. That's why today, when we minister to people and they fall under the power, you see an idiot saying things like, his makeup. No, that's not about buy or bali. You get it? The power of God is what? It's tangible. If it flows into your skin, you won't know. You just see yourself dirty. Did you understand what I'm saying? Falling under the power is real. That's what I'm saying. Is it clear? Is it clear? Uh-huh. You did what you did. Amen. So that was the religious pride. The pride of that nation was that, we know God. There's nothing you can talk to us about Yahweh, about Jehovah, the God who created heaven and earth. We know him because God had dealt with them firsthand. There is no nation under heaven that experienced the power and the presence of God like the nation of Israel. Are we together? Are we together? Like the nation of Israel. So, but that religion, as it were, now prevented them from receiving the gospel. So Paul was bothered. Paul is like, you guys were the ones that God chose to champion his work of salvation in the earth. He demonstrated that, first of all, he promised that to Abraham by your seed. Are we together? He says, how did he say to Abraham? He says, I put it to Abraham. He says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thee, in thy seed. He repeats the same thing to Isaac. In thy seed. Genesis 22. You find the first one, Genesis 15. Genesis 14, Genesis 15. Genesis 22. Then he repeats the same thing to what's his name now? Jacob. Are we together? In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Are we there? So he communicates that plan to bring the whole world. And I told you that when you see the word families of the earth, it's not referring to a delay. You know what he says in Yoruba? Idile Bamigoye. Idile Adela. No. All the families of the earth. The word family implies the various tribes, cultures. Are we together? The tribes. So when he says all the families of the earth, is another word for nations, nationalities. So indeed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now you need to find out what the blessing is. Are we together? And not think that God is saying all the families of the earth will have enough money in their accounts. Are we together? Are we together? Alright. So all the families of the earth will have
money in their accounts. No, that's not the blessing.
That's not the blessing of Abraham. So indeed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Indeed.
So that already presupposes that God selected Abraham. And I told you, the reason why God chose Israel was because of God's choice towards who? Abraham. Are we together? Abraham was what opened the door for Israel. What God did with Israel, or what God wanted to do with the nation of Israel, I told you, is not this present day Israel that is fighting Iran. Are we together? No. This particular Israel was created few hundreds of years ago. That is not the Israel of the Bible. And it was deeply political. Go and do your history well. Go and do your history well. This one you are seeing that is fighting was renamed. It was named Israel for a purpose. That is not the same nation in the Bible called Israel. Are you with me? Go and do your history well. And don't fumble in Bible study. So, what God will use that nation of Israel that is recorded in the scriptures, what God will use them for is what He started with the man Abraham. He had already told Abraham, that's why you will see God spoke to Abraham how that his descendants will be found in, what's it called, in captivity. Genesis chapter 15, go read it. He will find in captivity. He now said, I will redeem them, I will restore them. So God was showing Abraham that his lineage, his descendants, will go into a land of captivity, but he shouldn't worry. He will fulfill his promise to Abraham. How is he going to fulfill his promise to Abraham? He will bring them out and fulfill his word through them. So it was that promise he made to Abraham that he sent Moses to go and actualize. So when Moses brings that Israel out, that Israel journeyed down, obviously to Canaan, and we know why they were going to Canaan. They were not going to Canaan because God promised them. They were going to Canaan because Canaan was where Jacob dwelt. Are we together? Before all of them went to what? Egypt. Joseph, and they became what? So Canaan was like their right boy. About 430 years. Are we together? Less than 430 actually. About 400 to 300 and something years they had been away. So that geographical location, Canaan, had been taken up by different other nations. Are we together? So they had to fight the warfare. God had to assist them. They had to wage war. They had to fight. And then finally got back their land. Are we there? Which they now dwelt. But this is where I'm going. Beyond the physical things observed, the history, there is God's plan that is being unveiled behind the scene. And that plan was that God was going to, through that nation Israel, spread His knowledge. The knowledge of the worship of God will go into all the world. Is it clear? Is it clear? That was God's plan. So Paul coming now was very bothered, because he comes to preach that same gospel to them. How did John put it? John says in John 1, he says he came, verse 10, unto his own did not what? Receive him. Are we together? He says he came into the world knew him not. He came unto his own did not receive him. His own there will refer to his lineage, that's the nation of Israel. They did not receive him.
So Paul is budging that, hey, you guys that God had chosen to champion the cause of his plan on the earth are now the ones rejecting him. Did you get it? So that was Paul's issue. Please sit down, thank you. But give me my mic first. Thank you. Are we there? Are we there? Alright. So, when I say religious pride, that's what I mean by religious pride. Not to heed to the preaching of the gospel, because you felt like whatever was brought to you is wrong. Are we together? But the reason why they did not heed was because they will not listen patiently. They will not open their hearts to learn the gospel and see that, oh, this God that we are trying to worship with all of these religious rituals of offering of animals, going to the temple every year, sacrificing blood in the temple. I didn't say sacrificing human beings. Sacrificing blood in the temple, killing of doves, bulls, goats, and all of that. Are we there? Oh, this same God that we are trying to please, this same God that we are trying to please by atoning for our sins, has now come to us as a man. He now died as a sacrifice. They didn't want to hear that one. They didn't want to hear that one. So in fact, that was the basis of the book. Are we together? Are we together? Alright, so we'll not be able to go into the question I wanted to ask us from the assignment, because we already spent much time. Line of this of that is that Israel will have a special place. I told you from Exodus chapter 4, God looked at Israel and says, thou art my what? My son. He says, Israel is my son, Israel is my firstborn, right? And I told you that the word firstborn is a now in the New Testament books as a codified language. I've seen that to us already. It occurs in the New Testament books now as a codified. I'll talk about that during the Bible seminar, just some 30 minutes after this session. Are we together? So, Israel is described as the son of God. The son of God. Again, I'll go over it. The concept of the son in the scriptures does not automatically imply a male child. I told you that the Bible is not as you think. Is it clear? The Bible is not as English as it thinks. If a book was written several hundreds of years before English language even started occurring, you cannot fully understand that book judging it with that later language. Is it clear? The book will have to explain to you what it is describing when it uses its terminologies. So when you see the word Son of God in scripture, or son, it does not always mean, all the time it is used, a male child. There are times when son implies male child. For in the scripture, the word son does not automatically mean male child every time it is used. For example, for God to tell Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, let Israel go. Israel is my son. He calls a nation of men and women, children and adults, he calls all of them my son. If you are intelligent enough, you should know that son, therefore, could not just refer to what? Male child. Is it clear? At other instances, you see, right from the book of Genesis, still, the book that you expect there to read before you read any other book, you will see supernatural beings in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 10. Being referred to as what? The sons of God. Are we together? You see, supernatural beings being referred to as sons of God. Are we there? Are we there? The sons of God, supernatural beings. Again, in the book of Job, it says, oh, the sons of God were gathered, and Satan was also what? Are we together? Are we together? Amidst them. Sons of God in that text is referring to a group of supernatural beings. A group of supernatural beings. In Hosea chapter 11, the prophet said, I led Israel out of Egypt. Out of Egypt I called my son. So the nation of Israel was the first to our son. So looking at the Old Testament books alone, You will find sons used for supernatural beings, called sons of God. You will find sons also used for earthly kings, sons of God. Earthly kings are also described as sons of God. You will also find a whole nation of man and woman called what? Sons of who? Of God. So it tells you that the terminology sons of God is a concept within the scriptures that needs to be understood. And if you judge it with your own knowledge of English today, you will err. Because what is son to us in 2025 is a male child. So the ideology of son in scripture simply has to do with, look at this. This is what son implies. Son implies the person upon whose shoulder my responsibility was falls in my absence. That's son. Your son in scripture is the one that is responsible for you. The one that executes your responsibility. Are we there? You will find it used a lot for Pharaoh. And every time Moses recorded the son of Pharaoh or the father of Pharaoh, he was always described as the one who sits on the throne after him. So the son or the father is on the throne. Is it clear? Is it clear? The one that sits on the throne. So my son is the one that is responsible for me. He will inherit my responsibilities. And look at this. Many times, there are also resources to execute those responsibilities. So the son also inherits the what? The resources. But the reason for inheriting the resources is because he inherits what? The responsibility. Are you listening to me? So the ideology of sons, that's why in the New Testament book, it says Jesus is the what? He's the son of God. He's not saying that, you know, he's the male child of God. No. He's the son of God means this person we are seeing is the one that is responsible for the work of God on the earth. Are we together? Are we together? Now look at this. When Jesus was referred as the son of God, while he was on the earth, the four gospels, let me ask a question. Are there other sons of God on, are there other sons of God in creation? Are there other sons of God in creation? When Jesus was being described as the son of God, are there other sons of God in creation?
Yes or no?
Yes. Put together. It implies that when it says son of God, that's understand son of God. That's understand. That's what I told you. When he now says the only begotten son of God, you see that now? Do you see that now? Do you grasp that now? When it says the only begotten son of God, so could that text be rightly saying the only begotten son of God? I've explained it to you. Imply begotten only what? Of God. Did you see that? To show you, look at this. That phrase, the only begotten Son of God, was meant to show us, the writer was showing us, that this particular Son is a unique Son of God. Do you get it? Do you get it? Wait. Are we also sons of God? Are we also sons of God? Is it the male Christian that are sons of God or male and female? So male and female Christians are called what? Sons of God, right? Right? Now, as we are sons of God, amen, are we sons of God like Jesus? Definitely no. Are we together? We are not described as the sons of God in the same mannerism as which Jesus is called what? The Son of God. No. So the concept Son of God has to be understood. I told you that the Herod that sat there when Jesus was preaching, that Herod that took away the head of John the Baptist. Are we together? I told you that that Herod was also described as what? The Son of God. Go and check your Bible very well. Because earthly kings are also called what? Sons of God. So sometimes, sons of God is just cultural. sons of God. And it's recorded in scripture. Some of the sons of God is a supernatural office. And sometimes men are also called sons of God. So you can't just throw an omnibus approach at the word sons of God or son of God. You have to look at each text. When you see son of God mentioned in a text, why is it called so? The text will tell you. Amen. Amen. Codify language in the afternoon. Are we there? So, Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, I told you, monogenes, is to describe that God Himself is the one that descends into humanity. So, this is begotten only of God, or begotten solely by God. This is God becoming this one. So when he says Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, he's saying that Jesus is a unique son. Because unlike others who are sons by function, and they are creatures of God. Are you with me? Jesus is not a creature of God. And even though he's also a son by function, he's a son because God came into human form. Is that clear? Alright. If it's not clear, get church teachings. So look at this. Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews there, we said it is a book of comparison. Alright. So let's get our thoughts into place. We said in Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, it says, wherefore, holy brethren. So, you know who holy brethren is referring to now? Is it referring to Christians or the nation of Israel? Is it referring to Christians or the nation of Israel? Thank you. Partakers of the heavenly calling. You now see why he called them partakers of the heavenly calling, right? Because they had a chief role. Amen. He now says, consider the apostle and high priest of Jesus Christ. Are we together? That will be applicative with the Christian. Because the Christian has professed it. Now look at verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Which man? The high priest and apostle, Jesus Christ. Inasmuch as he who builded the house, he says, has more honor than the house. Can we take verse 4 together, everybody? For every house is builded by some, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful, verse 5, everyone, let's read. In all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those which are to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast? Can we say if we believe? So we become his house. Are we together? Are we together? That is, look at this. Look at this. We have already been called the house of God. Amen. By description. By heritage. But we need to start functioning as the what? As the house of God. This will be if we what? Hold fast. The what? The confidence. Confidence of what? And the rejoicing of what? Unto fame, unto what? The end. What will the end be? What will the end be? What is the goal of the preaching of the gospel to them? To move them into what? Faith. So, unto the end. The end there cannot be rapture. See, if you slot rapture in, you have made salvation conditional. You have foiled the entire scriptures. So, unto the end, you are the one leading rapture. The end there refers to the end goal of the preacher, and that is for them to believe. So, he's showing you that we are his house if we believe. Are we together? We are functioning as his house. Yes, we have already been described as his household, But that is by heritage. But we need to function in the reality. If we are going to function in the reality of being called his house, it is going to be by faith. How did he explain that? We are going to hold fast. Are we together? Our profession, are we together? The confidence, the assurance, it says, firm unto the end. You will need to be persuaded into faith if you are going to function as his house. Even though we have already been referred to as his house, according to what? Our heritage. Is it clear? Jewish heritage. Is it clear? Alright. So look at this. So he says, you know, the next verse will now make sense to you. Will now make sense to you, the next verse. He now says, wherefore, right, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your... Did you see that? That now makes sense to you, that he's trying to persuade them into faith. That faith is what he described as unto the end, unto the goal. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Harden not your heart. He says, as in the provocation. By using the word provocation, he explained it in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, is he referring to sometime in the Old Testament books? Huh? Is he referring to the Old Testament books? Now, when he says, in the day of the what? Of the provocation, right? Right? Is that what he says? As in the provocation, right? Huh? In the what? In the day of what? Of temptation. Now, that shows you, look at this. If you measure the day of temptation and is referring to a period recorded in the Old Testament books, it therefore cannot be a day of the week. So it is better translated the period of temptation, not day, as in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because what is translated as the day of temptation covered how many years? 40 years. So look at what the writer does. The writer calls a period of 40 years a day. So it couldn't be Monday, Tuesday. It would rather be a period. Are you with me? Are you with me? So he calls that period of temptation. Now, why is it called temptation? Why is it called temptation? Look at the next verse. When your fathers did what? So was God tempting them or they tempted God? Was God tempting them or they tempted God? Now, you and I need to understand what it means by tempting God. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Because you are going to read in the text that says, God does not tempt with evil, neither can any man tempt you with evil. I would say they are two different things. So, he says they tempted God. How did they tempt God? He says, they proved me. They saw my works how many years? Is it written here? Verse 9. How many years? 40 years. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. Wait. So go back to verse 6. Where are they going to hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope? Firm. Where? In their heart. Because it is in the heart that man errs or believes. Do you get it? So he is persuading them unto faith. So he says they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Are we there? We explore this later on. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now look at verse 12. Brethren. So brethren in verse 12, does this seem to explain holy brethren in verse 1? Does he explain it? Thank you. So what is the state of these brethren? Take it. What does take it mean? Be careful. He's not Christians. Be careful. Take caution. Lest there be in any of you an evil act of unbelief which departs from the living God. What does it mean by depart from the living God? How would they depart from the living God? By departing from the message he is preaching to them. By not believing the gospel, they separate themselves from what? From the living God. That they claim to be worshipping with the rituals. Does that make sense to you? So the moment you understand that, the emphasis or the admonition of the writer of Hebrews is built on convincing them to believe the gospel, is the key that unlocks the various descriptions, terminologies, persuasive styles, comparisons that the writer of Hebrews has employed in explaining, you know, his intention of persuading them into faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Any response one more time? Do you understand what? Alright. So quickly, we said that the book is a book of comparison. So he compares the high priesthood. I didn't say chief priest. I said high priest. He compares the high priesthood of Aaron with the high priesthood of who? Of Jesus. Don't forget he used the word which was as a for last Sunday, right? Better. Thank you. So he uses the term high priest to describe. I'm speaking directly from my note now. He uses the terminology high priest for Jesus to describe his what now? I said the last thing. His what? His work of what? Salvation. Don't forget we said last that the quality of the high priesthood, right, will determine the quality of what? Of what? Of what? Of what? Of what is done. His work. Thank you. Good. So, the term high priesthood, just follow me and pay attention. The term high priest was used on his explanation. He uses the term high priesthood to drive home his explanation of the work of the Savior as it pertains to sins. Did we see that last week? Okay. Look at the following. I'll be slow, I'll be patient, I'll be fast. Hebrews chapter 5. Quickly. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, the gifts are the sacrifices. The sacrifices are the gifts. Are we together? Gifts, which is sacrifices. Amen. Gifts, which is sacrifices for what? For sins. Now, look at Hebrews 7. So that's the office of the priest or of the high priest. He says he's ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Are we together? That he may offer what? Gifts and sacrifices for sins. Good. Hold that somewhere. Go to Hebrews 7. Verse 25. Wherefore, he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Can we take 26 together? For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made. Is this comparing with Aaron? In this verse 26 alone, you will see many ways that it differs from the Aaronic priesthood. So he says, He is holy. He explains holy as blameless. He explains that as undefiled, separate from sinners. Are we together? And made higher than the what? The heavens. Now, what does he mean by that? He's trying to show us that this high priest, unlike the Old Testament high priest, did not have sins. I told you to do a work against last week, right? And one of the findings of the whole church was that the high priest of the Old Testament books, under the Levitical order, Aaron, you know, had to first of all offer sacrifices for what? His own sins. But he's showing us that this high priest that he became us, he says, he's holy. He says, he's harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, he says, and made higher than the heavens. Now look at 27, it explains it once you go. Who need not daily, can we all read once you go? Who need not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once, when he offered up himself. Are we together? Now look, let's just cap it off from 28, once you go. For the Lord maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of oath, what does it mean by word of oath? The promise of God. The promise of God, the word of oath, which was since the law, makes the Son, who is what? Consecrated forevermore. Consecrated in what sense? In that he has no sin. Are we together? Are we together? Now look at Hebrews 8. In fact, if you read from verse 1, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the summary. That's what some there, summary. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. I thought he says higher than the heavens. Then he says in the heavens. Are we together? So you need to find out what does he mean by heaven and not assume. If he says he is higher than the heavens, and again he says he is in the heavens, where is this heaven? Are we together? I showed you that heaven there will refer to the tabernacle where the blood is offered. Your heart. He is higher than it, but he stays in it. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this. Look at this. He says, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Notice those phrases. This is an academic writing. He is set there. Then he says, two, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. You can use the word better tabernacle, okay? Of the true tabernacle, which the Lord was pitched and not man. Is he comparing Moses' tabernacle with Jesus' tabernacle? Okay. Is he comparing the physical temple with your heart? The physical temple compared with your heart? Now you guys want this? Right. Can we take verse 3 together once ago? Where we have priests ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now let's explore it a little bit more. Verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Why? Why? Seeing what? That there are priests that offer gifts according to the... Who are those priests? Is that a way of saying since he is not a Levite? Is that a way of saying that? Thank you. So look at verse 5. Who see, if you don't have a custom of going over at home, you are just playing. Good. So look at verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of what? Heavenly things. Wait. What is serving as a shadow and example? As he explained the tabernacle serving as a shadow of another tabernacle before. But what is he explaining as serving as a shadow here? The priesthood. Thank you. So he's saying that the priest that offer gifts according to the law. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are an example and a shadow of what?
What does heavenly mean? Unseen, right? Immaterial, right? Eternal, right? Right? So, the priests that offer gifts according to the law are serving as examples, that is, pointers. That's what shadow is. Pointers to heavenly things. Do you get it? As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for seest he that thou make all these things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now, as he obtained a more excellent ministry, the he in verse 6, is it Moses or the priest or Jesus? Thank you. So he says, by how much also is the mediator of the better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Did you see that? Look at verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. The second, is that the eternal? Is that the better? Is that the true? Is that the heavenly? So look at this. When we see better, can we synonymize it with true? Can we synonymize it with heavenly? Thank you. So he says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, fear the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, fear the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, fear the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds, I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor. He says, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the... Can we take 12 together? For I have met with their righteousness, and their sins are increased. Like, remember, in that he said the new covenant, he had made the first old. Now that which decayed and was old is ready to vanish away. Is he saying that he's ready now to vanish away, or has vanished? So understand the way the writer writes. Is it clear? Is ready to vanish away. It's not saying it will vanish away. It has left. Is it clear? Is it clear? Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Why will he even enter? It was because he was a priest, right? High priest. So he is not entered into the holy places made with what? Hands, which are the figures of the true. But look at this. But entered where? Into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Very bad translation. But I will not give you translation now. But it's a very terrible translation. I've corrected that text for about 8 11 years. Are we together? And there's a way I show you what is in the text. So because I'm not ready for that now, I'll just leave it that way. Are we together? But look at verse 25. Nor yet, because look at this, he makes it look as though God is seated in heaven. Are we together? That Christ now what? Appear to, right? For us. You see that? So, and if you go back to the Old Testament, it now looks as though God is acting like the ark that the blood is brought to. No. Look at it. Is it God that collected the sacrifice of Jesus? If it is God that collected the sacrifice of Jesus, that means it is not God that offered it. Are we together? Are we together? It will be him that offered it. If it is God that collected the sacrifice from Jesus, amen, it will imply that it was God's anger. Are we there? That Jesus was saving us from. That means, look at this. Look at me. Look at me. If God was the one that collected Jesus' sacrifice to appease him,
It means Jesus did not save us unto God. It means he saved us from God. Are you with me? So God could not be acting as the one there receiving the etutu. No. Is it clear? Something that just common sense as you think through the scriptures. Just think through it. So God couldn't be the one sitting and say, when God comes, it's not plenty enough. It's not plenty enough. It's because of you, oh, my son. That's how I collect it, though. You'll give me sacrifice. Bend it for the Bible, love you, Moses. Go ask Moses. Do you know how many IPs I killed? Because they brought insufficient blood. I needed 50 pints of blood. They brought me 49 now. Am I a joke to you? And they just say, and I understand that it's once and forever. Imagine, how can I feed on this blood? How can I feed on this blood? If it's you too, will you be able for eternity? I need another son. I need another son. No. Are we together? So Jesus couldn't have offered the blood to God. No. It's a wrong interpretation of scriptures. He wasn't saving us from God. God is the one carrying out the work of salvation. Is it clear? So the blood was not offered to God. No. You will never see it anywhere. Where they said the blood was offered to God. God received. Amen? Nope. So look at this. Hebrews 9. 5. So what does he say? He says, nor yet that he should offer himself what? Often. So he doesn't offer himself what? Often. Right? He says, as the high priest enter into the holy place every year with the blood of what? Others. Did you see that? Can we take 26? For them was he often have suffered the version of the world, but now once in the end of the world, had he appeared to put away what? By the sacrifice of what? Himself. Notice something. Notice, I'm not going to explain it all, but I want you to be alert. Observe, he uses the word appearance 2 times. The first one, he uses appearance, and then he says, it was translated as in the presence of God for us. That is the wrong translation. But if you use the word appearance or appear, then in verse 26, he says, he appeared once. So Jesus didn't appear twice. He appeared once, then he says, that appearance is to put away sin by the sacrifice of what? Himself. So the appearance, are we together? Could not be to make God happy. I don't want to explain it as Jesus went to offer the sacrifice. When he offered it, he now went to heaven to show himself to God. So he went to do beauty parade. No. 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 Are we together? See, in that sacrifice being offered, the Father was in him. The Father was in the Son offering the sacrifice. Paul says, for God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto what? Himself. So, the Father, that's why I told you, in John's Gospel, what Jesus said will be done. He didn't say, I and the Father will be one. He says that you will be one with I and the Father. Because pre-redemption, himself and the Father are already what? One. By 17, he says, glorify me with the glory that you and I had had since the world began. So the concept of the unity of the Father and the Son was not post-resurrection. It is pre-resurrection. Are we together? That the Father and the Son are one. The redemption or the work of Jesus' sacrifice, the resurrection of Jesus, did not make the Father and the Son to be one. No. The resurrection of Jesus made you to be one with the Father and the Son. So the is not the Son. Are we together? Or a status he now has with the Father. No. The product of the resurrection is you. And the product is in making you one with God. Who is God? God is the Father and the Son. Did you get it? Did you get it? The process of redemption, the fruits of the resurrection, is to bring man into unity with God. It is not to appropriate anything that might not have been between the Father and the Son. Jesus did not need redemption to be one with the Father, but he needed redemption to make us one with him and the Father. Do you get that simple fact? Do you get that simple fact? So, the proceeds, what today we can call the glory, the brightness, the beauty, the splendor, the prize. The price. Why does the Son go to the cross? The writer of Hebrews says there was a joy that was what? Set before him. What was the joy? There was nothing. Are we together? There was nothing in the sacrifice for Jesus outside you. There was nothing in it for him. There was nothing in it for him outside you. So when he goes to the cross, he suffers. What is the fruit? What was the goal? What can we call the prize? You know, when you labor, you're looking for a prize, the reward. What was the reward? What is Jesus trying to get? What is the glory? What is the glory of his death and his resurrection? What is the glory? What is the beauty? What is the price? Someone say, what is the catch? You know, sometimes in the world, you talk to someone and say, what's the price? That is, why? Okay, so if we do this, we do this, what are we getting? What's the catch? What was the catch for him? Are we together? You were. He declared. You were. You were the catch for him. So the glory of the sacrifice of Jesus, the glory of the resurrection, is man. Man in a different state than he was. What different state? Man in union with who? With the Father and the Son. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. That was the reason for the sacrifice. Some say, oh, Jesus used to be an angel. Angel called a journey. Are we together? What a false doctrine. He used to be an angel or like angel around him. Are we together? So, and then Jesus was that you have to see the big goals as a Christian. You have to learn to dream big. That Jesus saw it. Jesus was dreaming big. Motivational. Are we together? The gospel is motivational. So Jesus was dreaming big as he saw it. Ah, he saw the challenge. Jesus said, "Ishani, you're the false preacher. Shani King." Amen. The glory of resurrection, of the resurrection. Man. Look at John 14, everyone. John 14, quickly. Also 14. Where's God forevermore? The glory. Hallelujah. See that? Look at one more thing close today. Just gospel 14. Now, I can be very slow sometimes. John 14. Can we take it as one? Everybody wants to go. Let you believe in God, believe also in my Father's house. I've told you before that this is not properly translated. First of all, grammatically, you can't have house. Do you get it? Do you get it? In my Father's house. He says there are many mansions. What does it mean? Does it mean he's talking about a place where, you know, you have all sorts of architects? Maybe God has brought architects or, you know, angels that are architects. Hey, come here. I'm going to build a house for my beloved children. There are plenty, you know, that they are male and female. Build me a girl's hostel. So one of them just said, let's go to the earth. So they go to the earth. So they were checking. What does women like? They like a place where there will be large glass. And then they'll be checking their beauty every day. Alright. Hey, Heavenly Father, we are back. The task force that you sent to planet. We are back. We have found out what your children. So they build different kind of office. Is that what Jesus is talking about? That there's a place where God. Houses! How many houses will be there for God's sake? How many houses? How many houses? So he built different houses. I don't know. Some people say, oh, that place. He said that place because they came from a very poor background. So they said the street is paved with gold. There are places in the world that gold does not mean anything. Are we together? Because they came from, you know, poverty can affect your Bible interpretation. So they said that the street is paved with gold, that the gold is interlocking. Oh, everywhere. This is a go. So that is will be walking. Oh, you thought you're trying to encourage me that the street is paved with gold. Ironuni. That means I'll be checking. You didn't even say there are shuttle bus of gold. You say it's the street. That means atiririri. Atiririri. I thought somebody, you know, that's how they'll be contradicting themselves. There's no vision stronger than the scripture. Is it clear? They'll be contradicting themselves. Some other one came and said, no, the heaven is not like that. Heaven is that. If you want to be somewhere. How many of you had it? You just think about the place. Just pew, 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 pew. Heaven. You just think about the place. And you just think it. You just. Wow. Heaven is not a magical island. How do you even put it in these stories? A wonderland, Abby. At least in the wonderland. Heaven is not wonderland. Ezekiel. Is it clear? So they wait for me. I will explain it. Not to be. You will be shocked that we are not living this earth. This earth will become God's heaven. Is it clear? That is why I told you that God's plan. Look at this. God's plan, I told you weeks ago to unpack your suitcases. Abby, God's plan is to take over the whole world. Then its systems, the things affected by man, distribution, power, resources, all of those things will now be conditioned to a heart of God's shepherd. That is heaven. Is it clear? In case you are thinking, hope I'm not giving you bad news. Don't worry. In case you are thinking that, someday, one angel, angel like that, he saw a vision, that the angel was about to blow it, Jesus just ran. You know, Jesus is only sitting at the feet of Father like Lazarus. And he just ran, he just used that to blow the trumpet. How? How now? As thou You know, this guy on Facebook, Azau. Azau. Are we together? You just blocked that way. Mama. And then, maybe the father just looked at, the angel just looked at the father. Just look at the father. No.
Are we together? See,
presenting the things of God that way, it makes it look stupid. That's why you can't win souls amongst people that are highly intellectual. And it's not because you are trying to present God's word as illogical to them, but that is just not what the scripture teaches. So expecting one day, that all of us, some of us, will be going to work. Maybe that's the day that somebody got a job after waiting for a job for 10 years. And another one, that's the day it's supposed to be. And maybe
got married.
So maybe they have been cutting for like 6 years. The husband has been, wow, my lovely wife, it will happen today. And things like that. As they were going to the pulpit, the wife of the father has already brought the child. As the groom was, no, the groom is the one that stands on the pulpit first. As the father, you know, takes the hand of the child and is going like this, he's going like this, all of us, somebody will just go from there. All of us just be disappearing. Pew, pew, pew. And you leave me alone, the pastor. Ow! Azau!
Azau!
Praise God! No! You just look and say, all of us are wearing white jalami. I will just be going in heaven like UFO. And they will just be flying. Boo, there's a magnetic pole in the sky. How come? No! So all of us will now be in the sky, they said, for 7,000 years. All of us, kill and shame. What happens if I want to eat? If I want to eat rice,
are we going to plant rice there?
You know, there's Antichrist on the earth. Why are we afraid of Antichrist that we are going up? If Jesus is powerful, can't you come down? Are we together? If you are sent Satan away from heaven like they said, can't you get a take
here now?
That is the one need more soldiers, someone like me. I will fight. I hope I don't turn to Peter. Are we together? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That is just comic. That is not the scriptures. That is not the scriptures. That teaching that Christians are going to escape the earth. No. It says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Is it clear? This earth, hear me clearly, don't tell anybody, this earth is for Christians. You get it? That is why the pride of the resurrection is that the Christian may die, but he will get up. Why? There's a spirit in him. That was the spirit. How do we know that spirit will walk? Check Jesus. He brought him up. The unsaved does not have the spirit. That is why the consequence of his not believing is described as hell. Is it clear? Not because there is a burning flame somewhere. What is the size of that flame? Do you know how many years the history of Adam till this morning, 6,000 years. Do you know how many human beings have been on the earth? Are we together? Do you know how many will be on the earth after you leave? So, is it a hell? No! There's a concept used in scripture to describe eternal damnation. Hell or fire was now used to describe that concept. It doesn't mean that the God of love, the God who is infinitely love, prepared fire for who? Are we together? Are we together? So we need to go back into the scriptures and study. You need to drop the old garments of your Sunday school. Thank God for them. Oh, thank God for our Sunday school teachers. I was, and in fact, I used to be the custodian of those CDs, Abraham, Yakub, all of them. I was the one. I used to be the one to treasure the materials of heaven. There's one said, oh, there was a time you saw heaven, and then he recorded their music. We believed it. We believed it. So he brought a phone, and then he just made a candy song. It was a candy song. I have heard this song before. In fact, there were people in the choir. Or there were no born again. And he said it was the song they sing in heaven. He thought it was going to make us happy. You know, this was anything. It doesn't make sense. I can't even sing it for 1 week. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So all of you guys, I did not do voice training while you are away, so I'm in trouble. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then just because later, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. We have sung our time, we'll go back to the hotel and eat. To return in the evening, hallelujah. Who is this father? Please take this father away from here. That is just punishing us. Who is this heavenly daddy sitting on a wheelchair? Take him away. Are we together? See, that's what is presented to us. He said he is always sitting. How now? That is not the scriptures. So, can we for once open the Bible and read? Are we together? But you know, Christians don't read Bibles. They will watch movies. How many of you watch Left Behind? End Time by Pastor Weaver. I watch those movies. They will watch. How many of you watch? Is it Armageddon? Is it John now or David? That the younger brother, that the king now, a dragon was now coming out of it. Oh God. So they pointed us to an antichrist that is coming. But when we check the books of John, John says there was already antichrist in the world while he was writing. Ah, thank you. So check the scriptures. So there is no magnet that can magnet flesh that is in the heaven. Are we together? Is there something such as a rapture? Yes. Is it the way it is explained? But no. We have to look at rapture as scripture does what? Teaches it. Is it clear? So let's round up this morning session. So when he says, in my father's house, there are what? Many mansions. He was in real estate. Living in an estate. What's the name? Zion. Is that the tree they are singing? No. Who is supplying the light? Say, oh, Jesus is the light. You mean he's the one we're using to charge our phones? Definitely no. Are we together? Are we together? He's not talking about a real estate. A real estate. One man of God came. He said, oh, that God showed him his house in heaven. That they were still, the angels were still roofing it. How? He now said, some of his church members, if you want to warn people to stop sinning, tell them to stop sinning. Don't lie. He says their houses are like shops, shoplet like containers. That is a prison. He says their house is like container, and that God can even give it away. This God, no be, he's not nice though. So I wonder. Are they taking his cement to heaven? I mean, because you're not building houses in heaven. I don't know. Thank God they train us, those Hausa Muslim guys. You mean they now drive into heaven through local Jacko Abuja Road? What's happening here? So that if heaven is getting the supply of cement from Nigeria, Nigerians should be plenty in heaven. No. is the Father's house. The question is, who is the Father's house? Because look at verse 6. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Look at verse 6, everyone. Can we read together? Once we go. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the Lamb. No man comes by me. He should have known my Father also. And then he says, you know him, and I've seen him. Eight, everybody wants to go. And his prophesied us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Hallelujah. Then show us the Father. Believe that the Father and the Father in me. The word that I speak unto you, I said unto myself, but as well. So in my Father's house is who? Is Jesus. So he says in verse 1, look at verse 1 again. The Bible is so clear. You need another person to help you to confuse you. It's so clear on you. It's so clear. And be patient. And be sincere. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. So where does the Father dwell? In him. In him. In Jesus. Jesus is the Father's house. Why don't you use the word house? Take your mind away from this physical description of house. He uses this so that you can have an idea of the relationship between him and the Father. The Father is in me and I in the Father. It's a parable. Are we together? To describe union. Union. So look at what will happen in salvation. Look at verse 18. Everybody wants to go. Verse 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will do what? I will come to you. Hallelujah. He says, look at verse 15. Verse 15, once you go, he says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. What? I saw one guy some time ago. He told me, he said, he's a Muslim. So I was preaching. He said, hey, do you know that Muhammad is in the Bible? I said, how? As thou. He said, there's a place is written in your Bible. I said, where? I can't remember. How can you remember? So open to John. He says that the Bible talks about another comforter. So I read it. He says, I will send you another comforter. He says, yes, that comforter is Muhammad. I said, wow. Yeah, you should laugh. That's why it's a shame when a Christian cannot explain his faith. Imagine I said, he will just collect my Bible and I'll just follow him. I told the disciples, Alibaba. Are we together? I'm not mocking them. Amen. He says, Muhammad is the other. I said, wait. Ignorance doesn't look good on you. It's not an ornament. Look at this. Can you read the same text again? He now said that he may abide with you forever. Where is he? Can you show me his house? His house address? Can you give me an email? I want to email him. Or give me his WhatsApp number. Or do I have his Twitter account? So I can send a DM. Then look at the next thing. He says, of truth. Is he a spirit? Is Muhammad a spirit? He said, no. Whom the world cannot receive, but because he sees him not, he says, neither know him, but you know him. Hallelujah. For he dwells with you and shall be where? Is that Muhammad? Does he live in you today? I think Jesus lives in me. Hallelujah. Jesus lives in me. He lives in me. Are we together? So look at the next verse. What? Comfortless. I will come to you. So who is the comforter? This same Jesus. Did you see that? Look at verse 20. Or verse 19.
Yeah, little while you what? The world sees me no more. But you see me because I live.
You shall live also. Verse 20. Everybody wants to go. And that day play for me. You shall know that I was. You were. And I were.
Can we take verse 19?
Again, want to go? Yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live. You shall live also, 20. And that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me. And
you. Hallelujah. So,
what of redemption? Something changed with you. That change is what Jesus died to actualize. A union with the Father. Did you get it? So the heart of Jesus is what Jesus was describing in John 1, John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, that is in my Father's family. The word house there is the word oikia. It is used for household. It is a people, not a place. In my Father's household, there are many mansions. I've explained it to you. It's the word meno, M-E-N-O in the Greek. It is used for dwelling places. He's saying that there are enough rooms. In Christ, all the world can fit in. That's what he's saying. And we are changed agents of the same. In Christ, all the world can fit into it. Glory to God forevermore. There is no one other religion in the world that can say that. I've told you, Christianity is the only religion where the objects of worship dwell in his worshippers. Hallelujah. Christianity is the only religion of the world where the one being worshipped died for his worshippers. Are we together, church? Christianity is the only religion of the world that promises not only salvation, but salvation just by believing. And by believing, being eternally what? Secured. Not by the perfect doing of yours, the saved, but by the perfect sacrifice of the Savior. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Men and brethren, haven't we received something? I think we've received something that is worth joying about. I think we've received something that is worth shouting. Hallelujah! 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 I said hallelujah! So hear me clearly. If you are happy every day, it is worth it. If you are happy every day, it is what? There is a reason. If you are glad every time, there is a reason. Is it clear? If you are always happy, always singing, always rejoicing, always full of hope, always full of assurance, always confident, it is worth it. Because what we have received is worth much more than gold. Hallelujah. In the midst of economic downturn, in the midst of societal decadence, in the midst of political downturn, and then you have all manner of decadence in the society, in the midst of economic crisis, in the midst of many times also not too good, but in the midst of dilapidated security infrastructure in the nation around. In the midst of confusion, that beclouds the minds of the youth and the young, in the midst of identity crisis and a dysfunctional identity that many walk in, the believer has an identity. I'm one with the Father. I'm saved in the Savior's arms. I'm a sheep of his pasture. I'm a flock of his pasture. I'm a member of his sheepfold. I am a member of the house of God. I am saved and redeemed. I am sanctified. The high priesthood of Jesus, it covers me today and tomorrow. Hallelujah.